This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was the voice of Draymond Green adding his name to the list of people criticizing NBA All-Star Weekend. And here to talk about NBA All-Star Weekend and all things Celtics is NBC Sports Boston's Brian Scalabrine. Scal is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, by John's Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when the drains don't flow, and by findmassmoney.gov. Scal, what did you think of All-Star Weekend? Did you hate it?
I mean, I was down there. I had to work it a little bit. The guys are really excited. I think, like, LeBron backing out of the game kind of had you kind of saw, like, there's some players that wanted to play hard. If you watch the All-Star game, Wembanyama was going hard out there. And there were some other guys that were playing hard. Format was terrible. And then the worst thing was that 20-minute gap on a game that was 11-1 where Kevin Hart came out. They got the guys gone fishing. Like, they want the players to compete, and then they do that in the middle of the game. Like, how tone deaf is the NBA? And the fact that they were blaming it on the players, I will say the players didn't play hard historically. Last year was a joke. But that gap, I thought, ruined the whole format. If they would have just, like, let them play, and there was all kinds of time in between. They could have done that whole thing before the players in between the two games with Kenny, Charles, Shaq, and Ernie. But I just thought, like, that kind of really like messed up the competitive edge that it was.
Yeah, Scal, the evening had no flow to it whatsoever. And I know they thought this new format with a team per guy from TNT would be great. But then when there's a 9-minute break to pay tribute to TNT's Inside the NBA and then 10 minutes for Mr. Beast to give away a cube of cash for a 3-point shot, it was difficult. And then but you juxtapose that to the smash success, literally smash success, of the Four Nations tournament game the night before. And it has you wondering, do you think the NBA would accept some sort of international tournament or reconfiguration the way the NHL went about their All-Star celebration?
I do. I think it'll be just U.S. versus world. And, I think that'll be fun. I think, obviously, you know, you have some, like, Jokic, Wembanyama, like, you know, there's Luka, there's some guys, you know, SGA is from Canada. So I think that would be fun. I think that will probably be the format, and it'll go back to sort of the normal game. The only thing I would just say is, like, they can probably incentivize charities or players or whatever they want to do with whoever wins a quarter. You know, like, you could use a quarter score so it doesn't get out of hand. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I think Kevin Durant kind of said it best. Back in the day, it did get competitive for the fourth quarter. But before that, it was kind of like a dunk show, you know, guys in transition. Nowadays, it's like guys jacking up threes. So, obviously, it looks different. Guys aren't going to make every single three. Steph Curry pulling up from half court. But, you know, one thing we all have to realize is it's an all-star game. The NBA, yeah, I think, is an entertaining league. I think it's going to be great as it goes along. And they probably can't fix it, and no one's ever going to be happy. But there is a lot of good stuff around the league, and I don't think that that's a true reflection of where the league is at when you're going to go to an all-star game that doesn't mean anything.
And I guess just I'm kind of curious, like, what, you know, Wemby's playing hard, and then the other guy's like, bro, chill out, dude. This is an all-star game. I could see that happening, that dynamic. But part of me thinks, Scal, with all the games that you guys have to play and the demands just on just a long schedule season, I mean – would you have any issue if they just kind of scratch the whole thing? I mean, just give guys a break in the middle of the season. Why ask guys to kind of come fly in somewhere else and spend time, you know, doing all the stuff they ask them to do during an All-Star week when the season is as long as it is and the product is what it is? I mean, would you be okay if they just scrapped the whole thing together, all together?
No, I would. If I ruled the world, right?
Yeah, if you ruled the world.
I think it should be a Saturday night event. Right, you don't need all this extra hoopla and stuff like that. I think the dunk contest can be condensed. I think the 3-point contest can be condensed. I think that can kind of lead up into the All-Star game. I think it all could be on one big day, yeah, and then let the players go. Because if you can, you know, like, if players start playing games again on Wednesday or Thursday, you can let the players go. I think it'll be a little bit better. But, you know, like, guys get there on Friday. It's just like, it just gets dragged out for what reason? You know, we can play our last game on a Wednesday. Sometimes they have a game on a Thursday, so they could, you know, if there's a something happened, wildfires, they need to throw a game in there. But it should just be like really quick, boom, boom, you know, get in. And then I think Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then like guys who are an all-star usually don't practice on Wednesday, but they can start playing again on Thursday. So, yeah, I think I don't have a problem. You know, like, I will say this, like, thousands of commercials are shot during this time. You know, like, a lot of corporate events happen because all the stars are in one place, and it's really hard. Like, if you think about how, like, difficult it would be to get everybody in one location to shoot things.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's where the all-star break in. And, like, Kia does commercials. All these people do NBA partnerships, do commercials during this time because you can have, like, cameos from each player, and it kind of works. So I don't think they'll scrap it, but they could condense it down. But, and then, you know, like, obviously the players, like, the guys, like, I'm never going to be an all-star. So it was nice for me at Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, get off. But those guys who actually need the break, the guys who are playing 38, 39 minutes a night, right, you know, their break is completely short. And it would be nice for those guys to get a better break.
Scal, Jaylen Brown had some comments that were a little bit critical of the San Francisco crowd and the atmosphere. And then there's been talk about, you know, Boston putting in a bid for the all-star game. Do you think Boston could do it upright? Could the Garden be a good venue for the All-Star game? And do you think that's something that will be on the horizon with new ownership?
Yeah, so I think so. But I think, so from my understanding, this has nothing to do with Boston, the TD Garden or anything. From my understanding, like, this thing is turning into a much bigger event. And I think if you look at it, they're used, like, you know, Oakland was being used for some events, and the Bay was being used. Next year, L.A. is going to have multiple stadiums. So you guys help me. I mean, what other massive stadium, indoor stadium, would there be in Boston? I don't think it has anything to do with hotels. I think the issue is they need a second massive site, and I don't think the convention center
or
would do that. It has to be
the Gannis Arena, maybe? It's not that big.
Which,
no.
So that's,
no, 15?
Yeah, so that's 12. Yeah, I think, like, that's the issue. I don't think the issue is hotels or anything like that. I think it has to do with, you know, sort of the indoor arenas and having multiple indoor arenas where you could have one event going on and then everyone could drive over to another event. But, you know, they also could just condense it, like I just said. And, you know, but I don't see why we need to have a Friday night, a Saturday night, and a Sunday night. Like, yeah, they can't make this one night or two nights, you know. I don't know. But you know, like the dunk contest, just pick two dunkers and have them dunk off and then be done. You know, right. Mac McClung was going to win this thing. Like, okay, does it need to be stretched out for an hour? I don't. Why does everything need to be stretched out? NBA games are stretched out. All-star games are stretched out. Dunk competitions are stretched out. Just make it fun. Back in the day, it was quick. Like, guys would just, like, get up, they'd dunk, and then they would move on. Now, it's just everything is such a big production.
Yeah, but they also weren't, like, setting up somebody holding a basketball on top of a kid that they had to drive in under the hoop and, like, you know, all the pyrotechnics and, you know, logistical hurdles and everything. Hey, you know, it's Boston. Let's just do the NBA All-Star Game weekend all outdoors, Scal. Let's see if anybody can handle 18 degrees and 50-mile-an-hour gusts all weekend.
God. No, that would we know there'll be a lot of complaining about that, that's for sure.
It would be kind of awesome. But as far as the Celtics now, okay, like we could do, you know, another hour on the All-Star game, but like the Celtics, they go into the break, Scal, with some really positive momentum, and Jason Tatum especially led the charge into the break. Nice win against the Spurs in the final game before they took a week off. Do you think the Celtics will be able to carry the momentum they had going into the break out of the break with 25 games to go? And are you as hype as I believe our studio crew is here that they're playing their best basketball now and they're going to really get going?
So to me, it's Tatum, right? Like, look how good he's been playing. It's the best basketball he's played by 10, right? Because he's making every read. He's also scoring. He's attacking too, but he's moving the ball off of two. Like, you know, we've had different iterations of Tatum. We've had the one-on-one Tatum. Then we've had now, you know, like defense has started tilting his way. And he was a lot reluctant to pass, and we had the passing Tatum. Now we're having like a perfect combination of all the great Tatums is playing right now. Like, he's getting off the ball quick and it's helping our team, and he's holding it longer when he needs to. He's like the remember when Michael Jordan made that deal with Phil Jackson, I'll run your triangle, but I want to lead the league in scoring. Like, it's like that combination where I'm still going to get everyone involved. I'm still going to move the ball. I'm still going to make the right play, but I also want to score 35 in these matchups. So this is by far the best he's ever played. And I don't know. There's nobody beating us if he's doing this. So if he continues to do this, we will. But you also got to look at it like him playing this way also coincides with like Jaylen Brown and Jrue Holiday out. So what is up with our team when we're all together? Yeah, we're hyped. We're hyped, right? But we're hyped because we have guys out and we're playing great ball. Like, why don't we play great ball when everyone's healthy? Even though our starting group has trended that direction, starting to be the dominant force that they were last season, I think they're a plus 11 net rating over the course of the last, I don't know, month and a half, 2 months. So we've seen a little bit of that, but I just want like us to kind of like either A, play well together, or B, like we're going to still have to be kind of like pulled along by Tatum or Brown or our star players. So I have no problems with this team. I still am kind of looking for the team to say, like, okay, what are we going to do when we're fully healthy? And I guess playing hard and having meaningful games would probably go to that, but there was a stretch there where our starting group was really shaky there. But right now, you can't argue the way that we're playing.
Well, Scal, the games are getting more and more meaningful. 27 games left in the regular season. And I'm just curious, who scares you more out of the East? Is it Cleveland or is it New York?
Yeah, and it's the Knicks, but it's only because I don't know, like the Mitchell Robinson is so an unknown factor, right? We beat them the other day, and they're like, they're just a fraction of themselves. Like, they didn't have, to beat the Celtics, when the Celtics are motivated, you got to have all hands on deck. They didn't have OG Anunoby, and they didn't have Mitchell Robinson. Now, listen, Mitchell Robinson could come back and he could suck. I have no idea, but I know that he could be a force. He could be a factor, right? He's a shot-blocking big. He's an offensive rebound big. He could be a problem. I just don't know if he's going to be a problem. But their team is better equipped to handle us this year than they were last year. And I think they're better equipped to handle us now than they were even when we just beat them the other day by 40 or something like that. So that team is a little scary because of the unknown. Cavs are good. I wonder if Evan Mobley knows how good he is. Like, he could be one of the best forwards in the East or maybe in the league. But he didn't have that mindset. You remember against us, like, we completely shut him down. The next night, he had 36. Wow. So what Evan Mobley is going to show up in a playoff series. I have no idea. But if any Evan Mobley that's hovering around 28 and 14, that's a real problem for us. And you see it's all trending the same thing. If shot blocking bigs or rim protecting bigs are usually a problem for us because teams don't have to help off our 3-point shooting when they have those guys back there. So it just becomes an issue. But if we negate those guys like the way we negated Wembanyama after the first 2 minutes, then we're going to have no problem just cruising through the East. But shot blocking bigs do historically give us a problem.
Brian David Scalabrini from NBC nice. Sports Boston.
Thank you.
Did you take any flack last week for saying you'd trade Tatum for Wembanyama? Because we certainly did, and I hope you did too.
Nah, the whole league. I mean, why would I? No one brought that up to me, I don't think. I think everyone understands.
Okay.
Even though Tatum's a better player, it's just like, do anybody really think that he's not, like, going to be the next thing? He's 7'4", and he could shoot and handle and block shots. I mean, like, yeah, I think everyone would. I would trade. You guys know how much I love Jokic. I would trade Jokic for Wembanyama. That's saying a lot. SGA, too, like anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jokic and Tatum? Mm-hmm.
No, not like that. That's crazy. No. But any one for one, it's just, fiscally responsible at his age to go that direction, right? That's just the way it goes. Even though Tatum could be good for another 10 years, like, it's just, Wemby is just like such a different, it changes everything. But we'll see. I could be wrong. But did you guys watch him live? Like, the guy didn't own his space at all. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of the NBA. And I know he's young and all those things, but if you don't own your space, Ted, like, if you don't own the line of scrimmage, you can't win, right? I don't care how good your quarterback is, right? You have to win the line of scrimmage.
And you better win it.
In the NBA.
Yeah, you got to win it early, too, to make sure they know it's going to be a long day, right?
Yeah. I just think, like, there's the unspoken rule of the NBA – or even maybe football too, I don't know, but it's like, it's all about like dominating your space and dominating the restricted area. And like, it's all about the rough and tumble, but no one talks about that. It's always about like the guy knocking down threes or the dunk, man. It comes down to who's owning space and who's not. And Wemby's a great player, just doesn't own his space right now. No disrespect to him. Great player. I would trade the whole league for him, but he just doesn't own his space right now.
Scal, if I were a betting man, should I lay the 8 points coming out of the break in Philly? Is that a safe bet? You like that?
Dude, you know, coming out of the break is the wildest thing. Last year, my son likes to like mess around and text me things. Right? He picked every favorite on the money line in the NBA first day, and he won the bet. It was like some kind of plus 3,000. So I don't know, but I was like, ain't no way. There's not going to be one upset. Last year, he laid the money line on every single one. And it hit. So I would say maybe look at that and look at who the favorites, and you try to parlay some of those. It hit last year. Look at the first game out of the break. The first game out of the break last year, it hit, and I've been paying them off ever since.
I love it. Okay, betting advice, expert advice on the All-Star game. Scal, appreciate you joining us. Looking forward to the final stretch of the season here. Thanks, man.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, sounds good.
Thank you, Scal.
Take it easy.
See you, buddy.
NBC Sports Boston's Brian David Scalabrini. I can't take credit for that. There was a texter that was like, use his middle name, see how he reacts. That was Scal. He does a great job. I didn't know he was out at the All-Star game, so that's interesting. Boots on the ground perspective out there of whatever you think that was. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we are very excited. Keith Tkachuk, Papa Tkachuk, the dad of Matthew, dad of Brady, and insider for the Four Nations final tomorrow night at the Boston Garden. Which will be the focal point of the sports world, I think. That's Keith Tkachuk, not an NHL Hall of Famer, not a Hockey Hall of Famer. We're going to get to the bottom of that, too, up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by VisitFortMyers.com. Bruins and Team USA defenseman Charlie McAvoy remains hospitalized at Mass General Hospital with an infection in his right shoulder and a significant injury to his AC joint, the Bruins announced on Wednesday. His status for the NHL season, which restarts on Saturday, is unclear, and he's considered to be week to week. The Americans take on Team Canada in the Four Nations face-off final on Thursday night at TD Garden. We'll have coverage of that game beginning at 8 p.m. right here on 93.7. 97.7 WEEI and our affiliates. As the Red Sox continue to navigate positional decisions across the lineup, here's what Red Sox pitcher Lucas Giolito had to say about the state of the team in the clubhouse.
I think that we have a really good mesh. Team chemistry's kind of off the charts right now, and I think that, yeah, we're in a pretty good position.
I guess we'll have to take his word for it. The Celtics return to action tomorrow night on the road against the Philadelphia 76ers. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. Boston starts their post-All-Star break stretch with three of their first four on the road. And in football news, the Patriots have released linebacker Sione Takitaki. Last season with New England, Takitaki played in 11 games with four starts and finished with 18 total tackles and three special teams tackles. Also, the Eagles filled their vacant offensive coordinator job from within, promoting passing game coordinator and associate head coach Kevin Petullo to the post earlier today. He'll replace Kellen Moore, who was hired as the New Orleans Saints head coach shortly after Philadelphia's Super Bowl win over Kansas City. And the NFL informed teams today that the 2025 salary cap will range from $277.5 to $281.5 million. That's an increase of anywhere between $22 and $26 million from last season. Hey, Red Sox fans, it's time for spring training in Fort Myers. Cheer on your favorite team at JetBlue Park, then explore the area between games. Turning your love for baseball into a relaxing vacation just feels right. Start planning at visitfortmyers.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. U.S. Olympian and former NHL forward Keith Tkachuk joins the afternoon crew, and that's next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, we're in the guest-heavy portion of the show. Scal, give me some betting advice, and in just a few moments, we'll be talking to Keith Tkachuk, who I'm guessing will be in the building, TD Garden, tomorrow night.
Oh, I'm sure he will, yes.
He's got a couple guys that might be able to hook him up with tickets, because that's what you need right now, yeah, is a guy. Because if you don't have a guy, yeah, you got to have at least $1,000 basically in your pocket.
$1,000 Where are you getting in tomorrow night for $1,000 Andy,
oh, I don't
good
know.
Seats are $3,500
I don't know. $1,000 was the last row of the garden. Literally.
The last
the worst
row.
Seat in the garden was selling for $1,000 last I checked. So, yeah, it's a hot ticket. From what I understand, there's like good seats. Two at Center Ice are selling for over $10,000 right now available.
Excuse me?
You got that host one.
I mean, I got it. I mean, could I buy those tickets? Yes.
Guy spends $1,000 on a 50-foot abominable snowman for his lawn.
And I learned my lesson.
You did not.
Yeah, he did. Oh, Ted, you missed that one. Oh,
I love inflatables. Oh, I bought an inflatable abominable snowman.
For Halloween, too? Or
just Christmas? I'm a Christmas guy.
Goes over the top for Christmas.
Yeah, but I learned my lesson. That one didn't make it. Luckily, I got my refund.
Oh, did it
blow? Wait, did it blow away or did it pop?
The first time there was wind like a little bit. It tore it to shreds.
That's okay.
My regular ones, like the normal, whatever they
those
are, 6 feet
can't be
tall.
Cheap either.
No, that one wasn't. That yeah, was yeah. It. But I have found bigger and better. So next year, I got my eye on a 35-foot tall Santa Claus. It's $1,500
Got my eye on it, huh?
$1,500
You only live once, and it's Christmas.
Yeah. Meanwhile, your son's going to be trying to get a 19th athletic scholarship just so he can get some meal money next year.
What are you, my wife? We do not bring reason to the holidays. We go all in on the holidays, and you have to go all in if you want to get into the garden tomorrow night. I was thinking about doing your thing, Fitzy, though. You were talking about watch parties and maybe going somewhere and watching.
I'm 100% in on the South Shore, over it.
I think I might find a place to go watch it with some fans, have some wings, have a couple beers.
That's what I'm talking about. You don't get many of these. We work every NFL Sunday.
Yep.
There aren't significant games like this where there's going to be nationalism, local, regional, and countrywide pressure. Like, plug into the moment. You don't get this kind of energy too often, dude.
Plus,
it is a perfect storm.
And it's an event the energy in a restaurant, a pub, a bar, whatever, is going to be there. There's going to be a little bit of electricity. It reminds me of when I saw Something About Mary in the theater. It's the funniest movie I've ever seen in the theater.
The energy in the theater?
Contagious. Because this guy's laughing, that guy's laughing, like, you just can't help yourself. Everybody's laughing. I feel like
that's
this...
fun to be in theaters when it's like that. Yeah.
And I feel like it's going to be fun tomorrow night to be in a place, not just on your couch.
First time I saw South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, the first South Park animated movie, thank God I went opening night, because that contagious roll of laughter, worth 10 times the price of admission.
Yep. And I think tomorrow night.
Did you hear who might be in attendance for tomorrow night's game?
Giselle.
No.
Tom Brady.
The Prez.
Trump?
Wow. Yeah.
Yep.
Is there any truth to the rumor, Ted, he's also going to do the ice on Zamboni 1 during intermission?
That I haven't heard. I haven't heard what his role is going to be once he gets to the stadium, but or the arena. But I'm told
he's got
to
be there, Ted.
He might be there.
Do we also think he won't take the advice of Sean McDonough and could be found booing the Canadian national anthem tomorrow night if he's in the building?
Yeah.
That could be an international incident. I don't put it past him. He is what he is. Joining us now here on WEEI Afternoons, I don't know if we call him Keith Kachuk, Papa Kachuk, the father of two guys who've gone from villains to heroes in the city of Boston. Keith Kachuk joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Keith, how you
What's
doing
up,
today?
Keith?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, buddy. It's so good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us. And just so people know, Keith and I, we go way back. I haven't talked to you in a long time, but Keith and I used to be old golfing buddies. And so whenever we played a lot of golf on the Cape back in the day, and I can tell you, whenever we needed to refill on our libations, at the halfway turn, we'd go to his house. And I'm telling you, Keith and Chantal had this house that was perfectly designed to raise and develop future NHL studs. Okay, because the whole house had nets everywhere and goals everywhere, and it had all the hockey equipment throughout the entire house and in the garage. It was unlike anything I had ever seen. And so, no surprise. And Matthew was in diapers when I came over, and now look at him. It's pretty awesome, Keith. Man, I just gotta I'm a dad. Most of us are here dads. What is it like for you, Keith, to watch your boys not only wreak havoc on the NHL, but kind of be the flag carriers, set the tone, and be the leaders of the USA team in this four nations tourney?
Well, first of all, Ted, good talking to you again. We had some great memories, but being back in Boston, I was telling my wife walking into the garden the other day, Monday, it was weird. You know, usually your sons are hated in Boston. But now, playing for your country, it was a great feeling walking into that place and seeing the boys out there together and playing together. And we just, we're having a blast. And I don't want this thing to end. It's so much fun.
So Saturday night, they, in the course of 3 seconds, were the talk of the sports world, literally globally. Did you know that that game was going to start the way it started with your sons?
I had no idea. I had no idea. But when I was actually sitting there watching it and seeing Matthew right before the face-off, I elbowed Chantel and said, "He's going to do something here. He's going to do something. I know it."
Yeah.
And our hearts were racing. I mean, it was crazy, but it was. But I mean, both teams are competitive. Both guys are competitive, and you know, it was great for the game. It really was, and the boys love their country. They're true Americans.
So, Keith, obviously, you know the pride of Boston. You know, Medford Melrose. You're a local guy, and I just love, one of the things I love about tomorrow night is the emotional twist this sets up regionally and nationally, making for such great theater. Like, you know, obviously, as Bruins fans, you know, we hear the name Tkachuk and it's like, oh, that no good son of a. But then now I'm hearing stories, you know, because he's gotten the better of the Bruins for several years now. But at the same time, we've been hearing stories about local folk going into the pro shop at the Garden and buying your son's USA jersey as well. And so tomorrow night, you got Bruins fans rooting for their public enemy number one, who's also, you know, got local ties. And then they're going to be rooting against one of their favorite guys who happens to be a Canadian, and Brad Marchand. This is just going to be so fun for you in so many ways, I can only imagine.
It's incredible. It really is. I'm telling you, I'm just enjoying this moment, and it's for a couple more days, and then the rules will be reversed. They'll love Marchand and they'll hate the Tkachuk boys. But this is I can't explain it to how a thrill it is for us, and it's a thrill for the boys too, because they first time they get to play together, and I think they really like it. They liked it so much that they wouldn't talk to me for the first 3 days of this tournament, because this is the first time they were together, and they knew it, Bob, because we talk every day, but they iced me out for 3 days, and they did it on purpose, and I blamed Matthew for that.
So Keith, I watched the game, of course, and they interviewed Brady after the first intermission, and they asked him about the start of the game, and he basically told the story. He basically said, "Well, Matthew looks over at me and says, well, you want to be the first to go or you want me to go?" And that's how it started. So awesome stuff. And, you know, I just, you know, look, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Obviously, you were a very physical player, spent a lot of time in the penalty box. Your boys set the tone with their physicality. I mean, it's unbelievable just how physical the two of them are. I mean, it feels like that's still an important part of the game in the NHL. I mean, it feels like they're trying to maybe, I don't know. It's not as much, it feels like, you know, in totality, but it also feels like for your boys and you stylistically, that's still physicality is an important part of the game, correct?
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, both teams, Canada and U.S., are physical. They're competitors, and you can't have, you know, 12 forwards and 12 of them just be skill guys. You need some guys with a mix of skill and physical, and that's how you win the playoffs. And Matthew has great experience of that the last 2 years, and I think you need that, and people want that. That's how you win, and, you know, it's worked well. They've been playing with Aiku, who's probably one of the best players in the NHL, and I've been really impressed with him. He's another local boy. But, you know, they just bring some different sandpaper that a team needs to win, and they're relishing in the role right now.
Keith Tkachuk joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. And Keith, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know what to expect from this Four Nations tournament. You know, it's sort of a creation, a fabrication. There's only four countries, so it's not really a true international event. And it has taken over the sports world. Are you pleasantly surprised with how this has played out, how it's been received, and the level of competition we've seen?
Absolutely. This has been incredible. Was I expecting it to this magnitude? No. I mean, it's on everywhere. Even people who don't follow hockey are watching it, and I think this is great for the game, great for the players, great for the fans. I mean, this ain't no throwaway game in Rochester. That was a quote from Miracle. So this is the real deal, and I expect it to be even more intense tomorrow night when the boys, I mean, the winner takes all.
Yeah, it's pretty significant, and that was the highest rated NHL game in the last 10 years on Saturday night. Looking towards just, you know, retirement, I'm sure a lot of people would love to know the things hockey-related and whatnot you're up to as well, but we had sort of like a show-wide assumption that you were in the NHL Hall of Fame, in the Pro Hockey Hall of Fame, and you're not. And I was just reading, you were also the first American-born player to ever score more than 50 goals in a season. So what do we, as a Boston region, what do we as an anti, as a pro and anti-Kachuk region have to do to get you in the Hall of Fame, Keith?
I might get in as a builder now instead of a player. This keeps going. I don't know. I don't worry about that stuff. This is my Hall of Fame, watching not just my two boys, but my daughter plays field hockey at Virginia. So if anytime I can watch them play, that's my Hall of Fame right there.
That's awesome. I think I saw you with her the other night at the game. And I'm just curious what's it like for you and Chantel to watch your boys throughout the season? One in Ottawa, one in Florida. Are you guys on planes? Do you guys have a room at the house that is dedicated to with multiple TVs? What's it like for you just kind of watching your boys play throughout a season?
I got a great setup in my house, so we got a bunch of TVs. But I have a hard time watching with her. She watches it upstairs, and I watch downstairs in the basement. She gets, I just like peace and quiet. I don't need any play-by-play, but it's fun. We love it. We're having the time of our lives. And when we can get to see them, we obviously do. Now we're grandparents, so Brady has a baby boy, and this is the best thing. I mean, I really don't want this to end. I mean, it's going to be tough after this tournament's over, because it's been a thrill for all of us.
What are you expecting for tomorrow night? What can not only your boys, but the USA squad do to one up, I guess, what they did on Saturday night? Is what's this going to be like?
Well, it's good. I mean, you got to be careful. I don't know if it's going to be as crazy as it was, the first game against him, but you got to be careful. You can't take penalties, but it's going to be intense. There's going to be chills for the players. This is best on best, and the two best teams are playing against each other. So I think it's going to be a heck of a game. It's going to be a great atmosphere in Boston. So I'm looking forward to it.
Keith, as a native to the area as well, you still keep up with the rest of the Boston sports landscape? And do you have any good Celtics or Red Sox takes, like Raffy Devers not wanting to move off of third base, or Patriots-related stuff you want to share?
I love all. I grew up before Ted was with the Patriots. I was a follower with Steve Grogan and those boys. I was obviously a big Red Sox fan. I'm a little down the Red Sox because of once Mookie Betts left, that crushed me. So,
same.
And obviously, yeah. Matthew has a connection with Jason Tatum and the Celtics. And,
yeah, right.
I mean, I grew up with Bird, Parrish, and McHale. I mean, what was better than that as a kid growing up watching those guys?
That's awesome. Keith, well, hey, man, real quick before we let you go, how's the golf game? Who's the best golfer in the family?
Well, my golf game stinks right now, and Matthew is the best one in the family, and he'll let you know, too.
I love it.
All right, Keith, appreciate you joining us here this afternoon. Hopefully it's a successful game tomorrow night for not only the entire Kachuk family, but Team USA. It should be fun. I can tell you one thing. All the world is watching, and all the world is rooting for your kids.
Yep, go USA, boys. Let's do it.
Thanks Keith.
Brother. Appreciate awesome, it, man.
Thanks, Keith.
Say hi to Chantel, man. Be good.
You know, I got to say, one of the things I always think about, like I always try to imagine, Andy, what was life growing up in the Gronkowski house? Like
right.
Just five ginormous brohemoths having a UFC or WWE match at any time. And I got to think of the same thing. Like, did they just pad the walls, or like was a brawl expected to break out at any moment in the Kachuk house growing up?
Well, and it's even more fascinating to me when he includes his daughter, who is a high-level field hockey player. Yep. Now I'm envisioning these battles where, like, no, we're playing my game today. Pick up a ball and a field hockey stick. We're playing out in my turf. And then she's got a hockey stick and just must have been chaos. I'm guessing there were holes in a lot of things.
Oh, it was incredible.
From pucks you and balls.
Nothing nice. Nothing nice.
Lamps, nope, duct tape.
So you had a three-car garage, and the cars weren't in the garage.
Yeah,
it was basically a hockey, roller
it's
hockey
awesome. It's
in
awesome.
The garage. It was
awesome.
Designed specifically to raise professional hockey players.
And the thing I love about the parent-child athlete thing is, and I probably should have asked Keith this, like, when did you stop being Keith Tkachuk and start being the father of Matthew Tkachuk and the Tkachuk family? Like, there's that transition where they grow up being your kid right up until everybody's like, a minute, they're kind of doing fine on their own now. They don't need to be Keith Tkachuk's kids anymore. They've made a name for themselves. I think that's so cool. That sort of crisscrossing.
You know, I find fascinating is Keith was a tough SOB. Yeah, I mean, he was known for his physicality, and he's a sweetheart of a guy, man. He's a, you know, it's just and a lot of the NHL guys I've met are the same way. Animals on ice, really good, soft-hearted people off.
And according to you, he's being a little humble with his golf game stinks. You're doubting
he's
that.
He's a stick, bro. Okay. He is ridiculous at golf, so don't let him fool you. He's an excellent golfer.
Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we will continue to talk a little bit about the Four Nations, react to a couple of things that Keith Tkachuk said, and then at the top of the hour, we'll get back to your Red Sox, and we're going to get back to Rafi Devers and... is this a big deal or not? Is all this talk we're having just talk? Are you an optimist like Ted Johnson? Oh, it's just going to play itself out. All's well that ends well, and this will end well. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Did you know that that game was going to start the way it started with your sons?
I had no idea. I had no idea. But when I was actually sitting there watching it and seeing Matthew right before the face-off, I elbowed Chantel and said, he's going to do something here. He's going to do something. I know it.
Yeah.
And our hearts were racing. I mean, it was crazy, but both teams are competitive. Both guys are competitive. And, you know, it was great for the game. It really was. And the boys love their country. They're true Americans.
That is NHL legend and proud papa, Keith Tkachuk, joining us here just moments ago here on WEEI Afternoons. And it's so funny because, you know, you think back to Bruins Panthers and Matthew Tkachuk,
everywhere.
I thought was the puppet master of that series.
Omnipresent.
Yeah, controlled just everything.
Controlled. You know, like, it wasn't even... It was no question who was controlling the game.
And
he's
now,
the stick that stirs the drink, dude.
And now he's doing it at the international level. He controlled everything. Yeah. And it's so funny. It must be just as like, oh, boy. Oh, honey, he's going to do something.
Yep.
I've been watching this for however many years, back to Malden Catholic or wherever else.
Right.
He's about to do something, honey. Buckle up. We're in for a ride. And, you know, a parent knows their kid as well as anyone. Yep. And then we, as sports fans, watch it. And then to have the fact that his brother, 2 seconds later, and that whole thing, it's one of those... you know, sports are special kind of moments. Like, you can't, if you scripted that, it's like, oh, so they're brothers and they did it in 3 seconds. Like, you'd almost roll your eyes a little bit if it wasn't real, but it's real.
I watched when that game came on, I told you guys yesterday, like, it was kind of, oh yeah, I think the game's coming on,
yeah.
You know, and you kind of flip to it and then you see the start and I'm literally like telling my girlfriend, Robin, come here. Come here. Oh, my God, there's another phone. Man. Robin, come here. And she's trying to understand, why are they fighting? And then you have to explain how hockey works.
It's hockey, Robin.
And I'm like, trust me, this is the best start of any hockey game you will ever see.
I texted my son. I was like, I don't know. He was out with his boys. And I'm like, I don't know what you guys are doing or if you're watching. If not, turn this USA game on because it's like nothing I've ever seen.
Yeah. And I'm not. I don't know. Fitzy, you're all the same age. Doesn't that harken back to like a little bit of the 80s? I don't know, the 1980s.
Oh, absolutely.
Just the Canada, the booing, there's that tension, that the environment, the intensity.
Yeah, it's a Cold War.
Well, we were talking about it on Friday, Ted. Remember when we were talking about there's no, like, oh, they're all buddy-buddy these days.
Yeah, not anymore.
You know, in the NBA.
Yes.
Like, it's not like that in the
NHL. That's right, Stiz. That's right. In the 4 o'clock hour, we got into the whole idea that, like, too much friendship now, too much huggy-huggy in professional sports. Cut to a day later and 3 melees in 9 seconds on the ice. That literally gives us exactly what we want. Like, that's what we need more of in sports. And yes, Ted, it reminds me of the 1980s when I used to go with my dad to see WWF at the Boston Garden 1.0, and we started every time off with halftime pizza, and we would go, and you know what was on a loop on the VHS in there?
What's that?
Hockey fights.
Yeah.
And
it was
nothing but Terry O'Reilly and everyone else just kicking the living crap out of each other. We were like, yeah, break faces. This is awesome.
R.I.P. Halftime Pizza, man.
It's also nuts. Ted and I actually talked about this off the air. The fact that in this world, the way everything has changed and evolved and whatever, hockey fighting is still a fabric of the sport. And I know you're right, Ted. They've tried to take it out of it a little bit, and it definitely ramps up in the Stanley Cup playoffs and in the postseason and regular season hockey. You don't see quite as much of it, I think, as back in the day, and that's probably smart. That's probably intelligent because, I mean, you're well aware of concussions a lot of,
it probably is.
You know, hockey fighters and goons.
In fact, I know it is, yes.
Yeah, have gone down that same road as NFL players of CTE and post-playing days issues with their health and their heads and their brains.
Yep.
But it's also, I would say, borderline universal. Maybe there's a few out there that don't. When you see a hockey fight, you watch it. And your pulse goes up. Like, you have more juice in the game. You're more excited. It's just, it is what it is. And to see that, the one thing I do wonder, so Keith is a former NHL player, fought, you know, I was reading his stats, all the penalty minutes and all of that. Yeah, but no. But he played the game in a physical, I'm going to go to the penalty box, I'm going to, that kind of way.
No doubt.
The mother, like, what does she think when... Oh, Matthew. Okay, well, at least Brady's my good... Brady, what are you doing now? Like, Brady's not my good boy. Like, what is she thinking?
It's amazing. I get, you know, and Keith said that she has to watch it in a different room, but it would be hard to watch that you know, your son just throwing haymakers and you know... I mean, look, I think Matthew... They got in some. They wanted fights, and they got a fight.
Oh, absolutely!
Night. So that's got to be hard on Chantel to watch that. But you know, she's used to it. She's, you know.
Well, that's the thing.
But what is it? What are the odds that you have three highly competitive kids that are
product of the genes and the environment? Well, I would say a combination, nature and nurture.
I think it feels like a case for the nurture a little bit,
but also the genes. Like,
no doubt.
I bet you the mother. I don't know her. You know her, yep. Whatever.
Sweet.
A lot
sweet
of times lady. We hear these things where the mom is actually more competitive, or the mom. Remember Fitzy, Drake May told us on the afternoon show one day in the previous version, mom is the most competitive person in the household. Like, sometimes
that's right.
Yeah,
we paint these sort of sexist views
whatever.
What if we ask Keith, like, who throws the best haymaker, and he says Chantel does.
Right. And sometimes, and I've seen this around just growing up with some of my son's friends, sometimes the hockey moms...
Oh, yeah.
Are pretty
dare mess with a Massachusetts hockey mom.
Absolutely. They'll drop an F-bomb like you wouldn't believe.
I kind of get down with moms like that.
Oh, yeah. They're awesome.
I love the competitive moms.
So I don't want to paint her as like a wallflower, and she might have been like, so rip his head off, Matthew.
It's probably the combination of genes and nature.
I think it's both of it.
Now you get me all excited.
I am looking forward to, so a Thursday night hockey game. I am looking forward to this as much as maybe any hockey game, Thursday night sporting event that I have looked forward to in a long time.
Can I tell you, straight up, no doubt, I'm going to a place down in Norwood, meeting up with my buddies tomorrow night. And I'll say straight up, I'm looking forward to this game tomorrow night more than I was the Super Bowl.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think
absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think that's hyperbolic.
No.
I don't think I'm being outrageous when I say that. Like, I want, like,
it's
and the fact, like, everyone's going to be into it. And again, I like cheering the Kachucks. And then, like, what happens when, if Marshawn scores tomorrow night, are people going to cheer at the bar?
Probably not. I don't think they'll boo him.
No.
But they won't cheer.
They won't cheer.
They will be cheering for the red, white, and blue. And that's where I do deviate from our guy, Sean McDonough. I'm not sure. I know it's like, let's be silent and respectful and show them we're better than them during the anthem. Sean, sorry, I'm booing.
Can I introduce you to a place called Boston?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
One little side kind of funny, interesting nugget to this whole thing. Did anybody notice that, you know, Don Sweeney is the general manager of the Canadian team?
Yeah.
You see who the assistant coaches are on the Canadian team?
I did not look.
One former Bruins coach.
Who's
now in Las Vegas.
Oh, Bruce Cassidy.
Bruce Cassidy.
Screw him. Wrong colors.
How about that? Yeah. That's just got to be. I wonder, have they talked?
I love Cassidy's awesome. The first thing he did after he won the cup in Vegas was brought it back to the Cape.
I mean,
this guy, he rules.
He does rule.
I'm kind of with
but
you.
But I hope he loses.
You're awesome, but tomorrow night I hope you suck.
I'm all in. I'm Team USA or die, baby. Tomorrow night, I already placed my bets. I got hella buck for MVP of the whole tournament. I got the whole thing. I'm all in for Team USA. I'll be honest with you. I'm probably setting myself up for potential significant disappointment
for
the whole thing.
Tomorrow night. No joke.
I'm not just nervous. There's also part of me that wonders, can it live up to the hype and the expectation coming off the first game? I feel like it can't. It's so hard to follow up that. A USA win that started with three fights in 9 seconds. Like, I just don't know if it can live up to the hype.
I think their players realize there's going to be more people watching this game than we're watching even on Saturday.
And 100%.
A lot of people watched on Saturday.
100%.
So my feeling is it the energy level is going to be at an all-time high. So hopefully that results into a good game.
Well, you got Jack Eichel saying this is the biggest game he's ever played in, and he's played in a lot of big games. So I'm looking forward to it. I think we're all looking forward to it. The Four Nations Final, TD Garden tomorrow night. Still tickets available on the secondary market if you have...
a lot of money.
A lot of money in your pocket, a lot of money in your bank account that you just want to get rid of, unload something. 617-779-7937. Up next on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to get back to the Red Sox. We're going to let Ted chime in because he led the way with optimism. Others have followed. I've heard it across the airwaves. I've heard little sound bites. I've seen things written. But I think Ted Johnson led the optimism of this isn't a big deal. It'll play itself out. It'll work itself out. It might even tap into the competitive core of Rafi Devers. You heard that first from Ted Johnson. We'll follow up on that here next on WEEI Afternoons.
I kind of get down with moms like that.
The March to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Radford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.